Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're listening to another episode of The Basketball Truth, presented by the Red Light Sports Network with your host, Kevin Cunningham. And before I get right in depth into the Midwest and West regions for the NCAA tournament, follow the show on Twitter at RLSN Basketball. You can check us out on the website at theredlightsportsnetwork.com. That's where all of our archived podcasts are, as well as blogs, you know, especially with March Madness. I plan on getting up at least one blog today, hopefully a couple, as well as at least a couple tomorrow. Tomorrow's show, you know, today looking at the Midwest and West, tomorrow trying to break down the East and South. Just giving more of an in-depth look. Yesterday's show was more just of a general thing, talked about a few things with my co-host. And so, you know, it was fun. But today I'm trying to get into the into the thick of things with these games, and hopefully my voice holds up better than I was yesterday after doing a 90-minute show with Troy and Evan at the network. Did my show last night, so my voice was not cooperating as well. But hopefully for the next 43, 44 minutes, be able to talk about the Midwest and West a lot more in depth than I was yesterday. So starting off with Kentucky. In the Midwest, that's the region I'll break down first. With Kentucky, there are a few things. I think that, first off, in regards to Kentucky and how great they are, they're 34-0. They're looking to go 40-0. People know about the history and undefeated seasons and the last team to do it, Indiana in the 70s and all that stuff. But according to Vegas, a few years ago, when this Kentucky team had John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins, that team would have been favored over this year's Kentucky team by a couple points if they were to play. Running back to the 90-91 season, that UNLV team, in 1990, they won the NCAA tournament, no problem. They were loaded. That next year, they returned most of their guys. They were an even better team, but lost to Duke in the Final Four. That team is regarded as one of the best teams of all time. If this year's Kentucky team were to go against that 90-91 UNLV team, UNLV would have been favored by, it was either 7, 8, or 9 points. It was in that range. So that just gives kind of a perspective on what this Kentucky team is. This team is obviously the best in college basketball in their face value. If you're looking for a team to pick, you know, don't look any further than Kentucky to win this thing. At the same time, if you want to be a little different, there are other one seeds out there, even a few twos that realistically have legitimate shots. But Kentucky's the favorite, and they're favored for a reason. Most notably, and this is what makes this Kentucky team so daunting, is their size, which ultimately helps their historically great defense. That's what makes this Kentucky team stand out from other teams. It's not as though they're historically great in all facets of the game. I think that UNLV team could get out and run, and athletically they were just superior than everyone else, and they could score at, you know, godly rates. That's what made them them. That Kentucky team a few years ago that would have been favored over this year's Kentucky team had they played according to Vegas, you know, they're just overall talent. You know, Wall and Cousins, realistically, probably the two best players on the court if that year's team would have played this year's team. You know, Karl Towns is great. Willie Cauley-Stein is great. But the Harrison twins, they're both really good. But I wouldn't, you know, put them up to John Wall standards. And I think Cousins was more of a beast than Towns is right now. So, again, what makes this Kentucky team so great is their defense. The guards, the Harrison twins, Ulis, Booker, they're good defenders, but they're able to take chances, and teams have to take difficult threes, or once they get past the guards, they get into the lane, and they're faced with, you know, 2 7-footers or a 7-footer and a 6'11 guy who are two elite defenders. You know, whoever's out there, whether it's Cauley-Stein, Dakari Johnson, Trey Lyles, Karl-Anthony Towns, you know, there are a number of guys. Marcus Lee, there's a fifth. So what makes this Kentucky team Kentucky is their defense. That's what makes them historically great. That's why they're favored. That's why they're basically a 50-50 bet to win the entire thing. You know, it's not crazy to say take Kentucky or take the field, because in Vegas terms, it's truly a 50-50 shot. You get your money back if you take Kentucky, and they win the whole thing. The next best odds are with Wisconsin at 6-1. I think there's another team at 6-1. It might be Arizona. Not quite sure about that. I know Villanova's up there. Duke's the lowest of the one seeds, which is kind of interesting to me. But, again, this Kentucky team, their strength is their bigs. They do have a couple capable shooters, especially in Aaron Harrison and Devin Booker. Booker, I think, gets overlooked pretty often. But their strength is their bigs, and that feeds into their defense, which is from an efficiency ranking and just field goal percentage defense-wise over the course of the season, historically great. You know, in a five-game, seven-game series, this Kentucky team beats any team out there. They win the whole thing. But it's March Madness. It's called Madness for a reason. It only takes one game. And so, you know, talks of, like, is Kentucky just walking into the Final Four? Well, no, because it only takes one game. The first-round matchup, they'll breeze through that, obviously. Against Cincinnati-Purdue, Purdue actually has the size to match up with Kentucky in the front court. You know, they're a nine seed for a reason. They're not great players, but they have the size. They have the ability to defend Kentucky. Will Kentucky advance? I'm sure they will. But, you know, at the same time, to say that Kentucky is just going to breeze through this region, I don't think that's necessarily true. I don't think they're going to beat every single team in this region by 15, 18 points. I just don't. I think they're going to have at least one single-digit game where it gets close until maybe the four-minute mark, and they, you know, push their lead to double digits, and teams have to foul them, and, you know, it ends up around that 8 to 12-point mark. But there are teams in this region that can certainly push Kentucky, and there are teams that can beat Kentucky just in this region. Will they? That's a different story. Who has the best shot, to me, looking at these 16 teams, it's Notre Dame. Kansas, I feel like, is they're probably a three seed, in my opinion. They're the worst of the two seeds. Looking at the West, the other region I'll break down later on, you know, you got Arizona. Arizona is a little better than Kansas. This Kansas team is not as historically up to snuff as the last, you know, five or so Kansas teams. Those teams have had, you know, elite, legitimate players ready to make an impact, you know, in the NBA. So, you know, is this region a little watered down? Did the committee give them a favorable road to the Final Four? You can make that argument, because I think Kansas is the worst two seed in terms of 8-9 games. So Kentucky's possible second-round matchups, you look at 8-9s around the rest of the bracket, NC State, LSU, both better than Cincinnati and Purdue. San Diego State, St. John's. St. John's, the center is out, so that's a bit unfair. San Diego State plays legitimate defense. I wouldn't want to play them in the second round. Oregon, Oklahoma State, two offensive clubs, again, to me, more dangerous than Cincinnati and Purdue. Purdue, I think, is a decent team, especially with their size. You know, I think it will be a more interesting matchup than people think. But at the same time, I think, you know, Kentucky is a point. With that, moving on, probably looking at West Virginia or Maryland, for Kentucky in the Sweet 16. Now, both teams. Again, can they beat Kentucky? Absolutely. It wouldn't be the biggest thing in the world to me. Some people are calling it like the biggest upset in tournament history if Kentucky goes down before the Final Four. And I don't see it that way. I think West Virginia is a really tough defensive team. And if Tuan Staten and Gary Brown are back healthy, playing close to 100%, it's absolutely a team that could keep Kentucky in the lower 60s. And if West Virginia hits their shots, like they did years ago against John Wall, Eric Bledsoe, DeMarcus Cousins, that team, they could upset Kentucky like they did a few years ago. This West Virginia team is not as talented as that team a few years ago. But, again, it's a one-game thing. That's why I think it's almost not stupid. It's just a lack of awareness as far as, you know, how much this Kentucky team is beatable. Yeah, they're the favorite. Yeah, I have them winning the whole thing. But can they be beaten by West Virginia or Maryland? Absolutely. I won't pick it, but it can happen. It's not, you know, crazy. Maryland's backcourt, Mello Trimble, Des Wells, probably a top five backcourt in the country. That's what makes Maryland, Maryland. Those two guys are probably two of the top 20 players in college basketball. So, again, can Maryland beat Kentucky? Absolutely. Will it happen? I don't think so. But, you know, there are ways Kentucky can go down. Looking at the Elite Eight, you got teams that they can face. If Butler makes that magical run, you know, they certainly don't have the talent that they've had in years past, which I think doesn't get talked about enough. But they're a sixth seed for a reason. They're just tough defensively. They play 110%. Texas already took Kentucky down the wire earlier this year, even though they're an 11 seed. Everyone knows about the talent that Texas has. Notre Dame, that's the team I have matching up with Kentucky in the Elite Eight. That team can shoot the three ball. I'll talk about more about them later. Wichita State has been here before. They almost beat Kentucky a year ago. Kentucky's better this year. Wichita State, not as good this year. But, again, can Wichita State beat them? Sure. Would they beat them more than once out of every 10 times? Probably not. And that's the thing with describing teams that can beat Kentucky. You're looking for a team that can beat them more than once out of every 10 shots. So it's like, yes, can West Virginia beat them? Yeah, they can. But it's, you know, a long shot. Can Maryland beat them? Yes, but it's a long shot. Notre Dame, I don't think, as big a long shot. I think if they played 10 times, Notre Dame would beat them twice. So I think it's not crazy. Wichita State, Texas, would they beat them twice? Offensively, they play too much one-on-one basketball for my liking. I didn't think they would be like that at the beginning of the year. I thought Texas coming into this year was the best team in the Big 12. Obviously, that's been proven otherwise. But the talent is surely there. Kansas, I've already talked about Kansas. I just don't think they're up to snuff as far as where they have been the last five or so years. You know, who's the best player on Kansas? And people say Perry Ellis. And I like Perry Ellis. I really do. But if he's your best player, he would be, you know, a second, third best player on a Kansas team in years past. Now he's a guy that's being counted on as their top offensive guy. Wayne Selden certainly has the ability to go off. Kelly Oubre Jr. certainly has the ability to go off as well. If it's all clicking, then Kansas can be a two seed, especially defensively. But I don't like them as much as I have in years past. So going down this region, again, I have Kentucky moving on. I have Purdue over Cincinnati. I have West Virginia over Buffalo. Buffalo is a really good team. If there's a 12-5 upset to occur this year, that's probably the one you want to go with. Stephen F. Austin is another possibility in the South over Utah, but I think DeLon Wright can keep Utah from making too many turnovers against a team in Stephen F. Austin that likes to turn people over. Wofford and Arkansas, that's a joke of a matchup to me. I think Arkansas overwhelms them athletically and with their depth by a mile. That 12-5 upset talk is crazy to me. And then Wyoming, Northern Iowa is 30-3 for a reason. They're extremely well coached. They have seniors. They've been here before. Last year against Wichita State, even their coach knew they were pretty much a year away. They would play Wichita State, and it was like, yeah, we can hang with this team, but we're just not as good as them. Now they believe they are as good. They believe they're better, and they've shown it throughout the year. The team split in the regular season. Wichita State couldn't even make it to the final in the Ohio Valley Conference tournament. Northern Illinois won that. So the five seeds this year, I think, are pretty strong, and I like West Virginia. It's unfortunate that Juwan Staten has been out these last few games, as well as Gary Brown. But I do like West Virginia to advance. If you're going to pick a 12 over 5, though, Buffalo would be a solid pick. Justin Moss is the guy to watch if you're picking Buffalo in that upset. Maryland-Valpo, 4-13 matchup there. Again, I've talked about Maryland in their backcourt. They've got bigs as well, so it's not just those two guys in Trimble and Wells. But Valpo's a team that they're good. There's a reason why I think they've only lost five games this season. I want to say they're 28-5. Quickly check that out. Yeah, 28-5. They went 13-3 in Horizon League play. The Horizon League's not bad. It's one of those small conferences that the winner of that usually doesn't get killed in the tournament. Some of these smaller schools, teams come out of there and just lose by 20 in the first round. But the Horizon isn't a league like that. Green Bay, the team that Valpo beat, is a legitimate team that has a legitimate NBA player on their roster. So Valpo is not a joke. At the same time, I'm taking Maryland and their guards over Valpo. Butler, Texas. I do believe in Texas. They're certainly the more talented team out of these two. That's probably the sexiest 11 over 6 pick in the entire tournament. But again, Butler will give Texas fits because Texas has a problem scoring and Butler plays defense. At the same time, they should have a field day on the glass. At the same time, Butler played North Carolina, another team that crushes the boards, and Butler out-rebounded them by a mile. That was way early in the year. Looking at height, looking at rebounding ability overall, Texas is certainly the team that should control the glass, should have more opportunities to score easier points. So I have Texas over Butler. Notre Dame, Northeastern. Again, I think Notre Dame goes to the Elite Eight without too much of a problem. I think that they're shooting the ball. Notre Dame, I mean, they beat Duke. Let's see here. It might have been 30 points. It was at least 20. But beat him. Duke actually beat him by 30 at Duke. But Notre Dame can't shoot the three ball. They showed it against Duke. And in the ACC tournament, Notre Dame had problems against Miami, but they crushed them in the first half. They played Duke. They crushed Duke in the first half. And then they went on to beat Carolina in the title. But this team can get, absolutely scorching from three. And that's what made VCU's run a few years ago as the Final Four so special, was it wasn't even a team that forced tons of turnovers. It was just a team that basically got hot from three. They were a really good three-point shooting team, but they just kept that going throughout the tournament, and so they made a run to the Final Four. And if Notre Dame were to take on that role, except with obviously more talented players, this team could absolutely make that VCU-type run, not in the sense of seeding-wise, but the way they do it. Jerian Grant is a leader. He's a top 10 player in the college game today. Notre Dame's got five guys that shoot the ball from three. Sorry, four guys extremely well. And then Jerian Grant would be that fifth who you have to step out on. He's a guy that can shoot the three. You know, at the same time, 2% shooter. So he's not a good three-point shooter, but he can make it. He averages over 6 assists a game, leads the team 16 points a game, 3 rebounds, over 1.5 steals. So it's, you know, this team can shoot. 4 other shooters shoot at least 40% from 3. Pat Connaughton, Demetrius Jackson, Steve Asturia, and VJ Beachum. This team can shoot the lights out from 3. They're not insanely deep. They'll go 10 guys, but, you know, in the tournament when it really counts and it gets close, it's mainly a 7-man rotation. But this team can absolutely shoot. Those 5 guys I mentioned all shoot at least 75% from the line, Grant included. So, you know, it's a team that can close out as well. They're not going to choke at the end. They are jump shot reliant, but they do it so well that it's almost not a negative to say jump shooting team. The Golden State Warriors in the NBA are a jump shooting team, but it's much more of a positive to say that than it is a negative just because of the way they shoot it. Yeah, you live or die by it, and in a 1-game tournament that can be scary, but it can also be scary if you're Kentucky and you're playing them in the Elite Eight and Notre Dame's hitting down shots from deep where they don't have to be guarded by guys like Trey Lyles, Dakari Johnson, Willie Cauley-Stein. Team that can beat Kentucky in this region, it's absolutely Notre Dame. Can and have a legitimate chance are two different terms. Because, again, I think Purdue legitimately can. West Virginia, Maryland can. Texas can. Wichita State can. Kansas, if they play their best, can. But I do think Notre Dame's got the best shot of doing it. And I think it could be a really good Elite Eight game if Notre Dame is hitting like they're capable of from 3. So I've got Notre Dame over Northeastern, and then Texas. And then in the Sweet 16, I have them beating Wichita State. I think that Wichita State-Indiana matchup is going to be a really good one. I think it's a team that features, you know, three-point shooters left and right, but great guards all around. And it's pretty much a 50-50 game to me. Wichita State is not as good as they were a year ago, but still great guard play. Kansas, I've already talked about. You know, that potential matchup against Wichita State, I've already talked about yesterday at length, so I'm not going to get into that. But I think if Kansas does draw Wichita State in the second round, Kansas will also be ready for that game. It's not just Wichita State finally getting to play Kansas. I think it's Kansas being able to say, shut up, we've played you, now we're going to beat you by 20. That could absolutely happen as well. Regardless, I see Notre Dame moving on, though. Ultimately, I have to pick Kentucky over Notre Dame. But Notre Dame, there's no question they can beat anyone. They've showed it during the regular season and in the postseason in the ACC tournament. So that's my little tidbit on the Midwest. Solid 20 or so minutes. On that, now we got a solid 20 or so minutes on the West. Yeah, moving along. Wisconsin repping the number one seed out West with Arizona as the 2. It looks a lot like the region did a year ago. Wisconsin and Arizona are the 2 top dogs. You have Oregon in there. You have Baylor in there. And so, for me, this region, it's pretty much a collision course for Wisconsin and Arizona. They're the 2 juggernauts. There are a few really capable teams. I think Over the last few years, I've been a big Baylor guy. This year, not as much. I just don't think they have enough talent to make a serious run like they have in years past. They've made an Elite Eight. They've made a couple Sweet 16s over the last 5 years. They're a team that has done it before, no question. Scott Drew's a really good coach. I just don't think they have – they play well as a team, but they don't have those individual talents that can take them over the edge, over the top, like they have in years past. So Baylor, I think they're capable, but I trust trust is probably not the right word to use there. But I do like Arkansas's and North Carolina's abilities more than I like Baylor's. But those are the teams outside of Wisconsin and Arkansas. Baylor the 3, North Carolina the 4, Arkansas the 5. That Arkansas-North Carolina matchup should be really, really entertaining to watch. That's one game that there's no question I'm tuned into that one. And I absolutely think it's happening. The talk of Wofford beating Arkansas, like I mentioned before, is a complete joke. Yeah, Wofford's a fine team. But there's no way athletically that for 40 minutes they'll be able to handle Arkansas's pressure and athleticism. It's just not going to happen. That would shock me. That's a 12-5 matchup that would shock me to see the 12 seed beat the 5. There's not a lot of things that shock me, but there's no question that if Wofford beats Arkansas, my jaw will hit the floor. North Carolina plays Harvard. Harvard's a good team, but they're not what they were a year ago. North Carolina's interior should have no problem. Marcus Page will be the best guard in that game without question. They should advance, no problem. So that Arkansas-North Carolina matchup features a lot of elite athletes that can get up and down the floor, that want to get up and down the floor. It should be a game in the 80s at the least. So that, to me, will be extremely entertaining. Either one of those teams will push Wisconsin, but I have Wisconsin moving on. Because I just trust Wisconsin more. They're a team that's more disciplined. They don't turn the ball over a lot. They have the bigs to match up with Carolina, which not a lot of teams do. And so North Carolina's not going to cream them on their boards if they play. And Arkansas has better overall athletes than Wisconsin does, but Wisconsin's so much more disciplined that they're not going to be forced into a game in the 80s where they're taking bad shots left and right and turning the ball over. I just trust Wisconsin. So I have Wisconsin beating Arkansas in that Sweet 16 matchup. I think Arkansas gets past North Carolina. Having a day to prepare for Arkansas is a nightmare. But Bo Ryan, you give him, what would it be 5 days to prepare for a team after the weekend for that Sweet 16 game. There's no question. I think he'll get the job done against Arkansas. I love Arkansas. Over the years, I have not been a Wisconsin guy. Again, I trust Wisconsin this year, as opposed to a team that, for my eyes, is a pleasure to watch in Arkansas. But, again, I trust Wisconsin can keep hold of the pressure and not feed into it. I've kind of glossed over the 8-9 Oregon-Oklahoma State matchup. It's two teams that are offensively gifted. Oklahoma State has LeBron Nash, who can score 20 on anyone. Phil Forte can shoot from anywhere, but those are two guys that can score. That's Oklahoma State. They're 18-13. They went 8-10 in the Big 12. The Big 12 is probably the best conference, top to bottom, but they went 8-10. Extremely gifted. And they're obviously not reliable. Oregon, Joseph Young is their star. I see him, and Oregon's overall team is just better than Oklahoma State. Against Pac-12 teams, they couldn't get it done against Arizona. Against everyone else, they were doing just fine. I think Oregon is better than an 8 seed, probably around a 6, but I trust Oregon more than I do Oklahoma State as far as a whole team perspective. So I do see Wisconsin moving on past Oregon, and then past Arkansas. That's kind of those top eight teams at the top of the West. That's how I envision that going down. Wisconsin over Oregon, Arkansas over North Carolina, and then Wisconsin over Arkansas. Wisconsin will beat Oregon in another rematch. And then I see Wisconsin eventually taking on Arizona. Moving on to this second part of the West on the bottom side. Got about 13 or so minutes left. So Xavier, the sixth seed, plays BYU and Ole Miss. BYU and Ole Miss. BYU or Ole Miss. That playing game, I think, is actually tonight. Of course, I don't have... Oh, wait, yeah, I do. Yep, that game's tonight. That's the second game. First game is Hampton and Manhattan, which should be extremely riveting. But after that, BYU, Ole Miss, 9:10 Eastern. Tonight, Tuesday night, that will be the team that will play Xavier, the winner of that game. We'll play Xavier in the first round on Thursday afternoon. But so I like Xavier, but not as much as I like BYU. BYU is a team that basically they don't play much defense, which is not something you want to say in a team that you're picking to go a while. But there's a reason why they don't play defense. It's because they play offense extremely well. In terms of national rankings, they're fifth in assists per game. They're 15th in rebounds. So it's not as though they're, you know, just extremely guard-oriented, even though they basically are, but they can rebound. And they're also second in points per game at over 83 a game. Tyler Hawes averages over 21 a game. He's their main guy offensively. He can shoot from three. Chase Fisher is an even better three-point shooter. He's the other main scorer on that team. Even though Kyle Collinsworth, their point guard, averages 14, Anson Winder averages 13, Chase Fisher averages 12. But Fisher's their other true deep ball threat. Skylar Halford can shoot as well. But Kyle Collinsworth, the point guard, averages 14 points, 8 rebounds, over 5 assists a game. Shoots 47% from the field. So he's not a three-ball shooter by any means. But he can knock down jump shots, but he's looking to get his team involved. He's looking to crash the boards. And so he can score as well. He had 6 triple-doubles this season. In college, the record for a career is 6 triple-doubles. He did that in one season. The other guy to get 6 triple-doubles was Shaq. So Kyle Collinsworth, great, bigger point guard. Can't shoot the three, but can do everything else really well. Dishing it off to Hawes and Fisher on the outside. That's kind of how their offense is run. So BYU can score with anyone. I think they'll outscore Ole Miss tonight. And ultimately, I think they'll have enough offensively to beat Xavier. Xavier will try to hold them down, but I see BYU getting past them. I have them also getting past Baylor and making the Sweet 16. I believe in BYU solely because of their offense. They will probably play Baylor in the second round. If they get there, Baylor, the 3 seed, plays Georgia State, the 14. Georgia State is not a 14 seed you want to draw. I don't think they're dangerous, but they're a team that's not going to back down at all. So I'm hesitant on Baylor, and I do like the 14 in Georgia State. RJ Hunter, going to be an NBA player. He can shoot it. Ryan Harrow, a point guard that played at Kentucky his freshman year. Kevin Ware, people know him through his leg injury at Louisville. This team's got 3 legitimate players. They have players that will not back down to Baylor. They're not going to be afraid of Baylor. No question about that. So, if you're looking for that dark horse, crazy upset, 14 over the 3, Georgia State over Baylor would not be a bad pick. Baylor advancing, but would not be a bad pick. Realistically, I should have Georgia State advancing because I think BYU is going to beat Baylor anyway. That's typically how I do that in terms of having a high seed lose in the first round if I think it can happen, if they're going to lose in the next round anyway. I've done that over the years with 2 and 15s. If that 2 seed I see them losing anyway, then I'll take the 15 if I think they're capable. So I'm nervously picking Baylor, but I want to pick Georgia State because I think BYU gets past Baylor in the next round anyway if the two match up. At the very bottom, VCU and Ohio State. VCU, I'm certainly a fan. I'm a fan of up-tempo basketball. I'm a fan of the way they play. They were 17-3. They were looking really good. Then Briante Weber, their point guard, towards ACL, MCL, and meniscus, obviously out for the rest of the season. Since then, they've been barely over 500. They obviously made their run in the A-10 tournament. Again, it's havoc. That's what they do. They trap. They want to force turnovers. They want to shoot threes. If they're hitting their threes, then they can beat teams like Davidson by 20. If they're not, then they can lose to teams like Davidson by 20. It happened. They played Davidson. Davidson beat them by 20. 10 days later in the tournament, VCU, in the A-10 tournament, VCU came back and beat Davidson by 20. So that just shows VCU's ability, especially without Briante Weber. It's a team that's very up and down. That's why they've been barely over 500 without him. Briante Weber was, I think, 13 steals away from the all-time NCAA steals record. 13 steals away, had, you know, over 15 games to do it. He averages over 3 steals a game. There's no question he would have done it. But obviously he got hurt. So that limits VCU's ability. Their floor is a lot lower than it was with Briante Weber. But so having D'Angelo Russell, a guy that's a surefire pick to probably be an all-star in the NBA someday, I believe that highly in Russell, basically a 6'5 point guard that has elite passing abilities, but also is a scorer. So he's going to be a name for the next 15 years. So without Briante Weber, having D'Angelo Russell, that obviously gives the nod to Ohio State in terms of that little mini matchup within the game. No question that Russell can handle VCU's pressure without Briante Weber, but I just think Ohio State's too shaky outside of Russell. And so I don't trust their team to take care of the pressure, and I think that their defense is not spectacular. So I think VCU can knock down enough three balls, force enough turnovers to advance even without Weber. Arizona, Texas Southern. I obviously have Arizona moving out. But so, the second round games, again, Wisconsin over Oregon, Arkansas over North Carolina. Then I've already said, I've got BYU over Baylor. Baylor plays that 2-3 zone, and if BYU can shoot from the outside, which they certainly can, it could be a long day for Baylor. At the same time, if Baylor does step out on those shooters and BYU looks to, you know, kick it inside for, you know, close looks at the basket, maybe BYU, you know, gets thrown off by Baylor's length. So that's, you know, certainly a toss-up game, but if you want to win this this year's bracket, if Kentucky does win it and you pick Kentucky, like, you know, 80% of the rest of the country will, you have to find your upsets within these regions, and I'm going with BYU. That's a team I believe in. Obviously offensively more than defensively. But so that Arizona-VCU matchup should be interesting. But, again, I wish Weber was with VCU. because it would have made the game a lot more interesting. I trust T.J. McConnell. I trust Arizona's wings. I trust their bigs to be problematic for VCU's pressure. Once they get past the initial pressure, it's basically lob city. Arizona's got the height to do it. They've got the athletes to not be scared off by VCU's pressure and forced into turnovers. So I think Arizona handles the pressure just fine. I think they're more... I guess I wouldn't say that. I was going to say they're more well-equipped to deal with pressure. Arizona probably has to face it around earlier than Wisconsin does. If Wisconsin plays Arkansas, that's what kind of both these juggernauts face in front of them before they meet in the Elite Eight. But I think Arizona deals with the pressure just fine. I think Wisconsin will as well, obviously. If I didn't, then I would pick Arkansas on the upset. But both teams are extremely disciplined. They have the seniors. They have ball handlers to do it. So, again, I've got Wisconsin over Arkansas and then Arizona over BYU. I think BYU's run ends there. I just think Arizona's the better overall team. So, again, Wisconsin-Arizona. Only got a couple minutes left, but basically Nick Johnson, Aaron Gordon gone from last year's team. That obviously hurts. You add Stanley Johnson, that obviously helps. So this Arizona team, yeah, they're out west. Yeah, they'll be in front of their fans. But I don't think they're better than they were a year ago. And I do think this Wisconsin team is better than they were a year ago. So just from that standpoint, it seems logical to pick Wisconsin. Both teams have experience and great head coaches that will give Kentucky fits if they play them in the Final Four. So that'll be a great matchup either way. Obviously, either team that comes out of this West region will have earned it. But I just don't think Arizona's better than they were a year ago, and I do think Wisconsin is. Wisconsin got past them last time, barely, but they got past them, even out west. So can they do it again? I do. Key thing is Arizona having Brandon Ashley back. He'll be able to guard Nigel Hayes and Frank Kaminsky a lot better than they were able to last season. Ashley's a stretch four that can get out and defend as well. So that'll help from Arizona's perspective. Having Stanley Johnson will help. But again, losing Nick Johnson hurts, and losing Aaron Gordon, especially defensively, hurts. So I like Wisconsin to move on. As boring as it is, these 45 minutes have led up to me picking Kentucky to advance over number 3 seed in Notre Dame. And in the West, Wisconsin, number 1 seed, beating Arizona, a number 2 seed. Again, look for BYU. Wisconsin and Arizona might face up-tempo teams, which could be interesting. In the West, in the Midwest, Kentucky is not going to just breeze through everyone, especially if they play Notre Dame in the Elite Eight. That should be a really fun game. But thanks for listening. Broke down the Midwest and West today. Tomorrow at the same time, 3:30 Central, 4:30 Eastern, I'll break down the East and South. Follow the show on Twitter at RLSN Basketball. Check out the RedLightSportsNetwork.com for all of our archive stuff, podcasts, blogs, all dealing with March Madness this time of the year. It's been fun, guys. See you at this time tomorrow.